The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next on Life Today, Sarah Jakes Roberts, daughter of megachurch pastor Bishop T.D. Jakes, shares openly about her struggle to find her destiny.
And at 13 years old, I got pregnant. I had my son at 14 years old. And from there, just the shame, the fear of not being able to really have a destiny that lived up to the last name that I carry, taunted and haunted me for many, many years.
Life Today. I'm Sheila Walsh, sitting in today for James and Betty Robison. And I have to tell you, you have a phenomenal studio audience. And I think probably some of them are here because of my guest. One of the things I'm really excited about at the moment is that we have a product that we're going to make available to you, really for any gift you give us in helping. It's called Living Your Destiny. Have you ever thought, wouldn't it be great if I could sit down with five or six women who have really walked a long way with the Lord and learned some hard lessons and some powerful lessons along the way. Sit and have dinner. Well, we decided we'd just do it for you. So we have a series called Living Your Destiny, and it's teaching from Beth Moore, from Lisa Bevere, from Christine Kane, myself, and my guest today, who has such a powerful story. And I'm going to tell you in a little bit how you can get hold of this. But please, will you welcome my lovely guest, Sarah Jakes Roberts. Welcome.
Thank you.
I remember the first time that I ever heard you speak. You came to be a guest at Women of Faith, I think probably in our last year. And when I saw you, I thought you were just this young, very pretty, beautifully dressed girl, and you seemed quite quiet and shy. And you walked up on that platform, and the way that you delivered the message that God had deposited in your heart really shook us all.
Wow.
And so it made me wonder, before we go back, was there a point, do you remember the first time you thought, you know what, no matter what the past has been, God has given me a message to share, and I'm going to share it?
You know, to be honest, I think that every single day, because no matter how many obstacles you overcome, there's always a new giant in front of you. And we're constantly challenging ourselves with the reality that the present will eventually become the past. And so we have to constantly strive to make this moment our best moment, no matter what's going on with the kids or a husband or whatever's going on in our personal lives, that we have an opportunity to really share Jesus in a fresh new way. And so I take that seriously every chance I get.
Yeah. Well, in 2001, your dad, Bishop T.D. Jakes, was on the cover of Time magazine. I remember that edition. I mean, the minute I saw it, I bought it because I thought, wow, this is a landmark, really, in what God is doing in our nation. How old were you at the time?
I was 12 years old.
Tell us what the next year looked like for you, because just peeking through your window, it would look like everything was perfect, but you were going through some tough stuff.
I was struggling significantly with my self-esteem, trying to determine where I fit in a family that often seemed bigger than myself. And at 13 years old, I got pregnant. I had my son at 14 years old. And from there, just the shame, the fear of not being able to really have a destiny that lived up to the last name that I carry, taunted and haunted me for many, many years. But what I think is unique, if you will, about my story is also what should give some level of peace to other people, because there's this misconception that if you had all of the right things, if I would have had my parents, if I would have had T.D. Jakes as my father, if I wouldn't have these daddy issues or these scars, then maybe life would have been different for me. But the reality is that life doesn't spare its rod on any of us, that you could be T.D. Jakes' daughter or Joe Black's daughter and you'll have a cross to carry. And what matters isn't what you've gone through, but what you're willing to do with the results of the broken pieces that life often gives us.
What messages did you hear in your head, knowing that you're pregnant, you're about to give birth, and you're 14 years old, Sarah, you're just a little girl?
Yeah.
What did that do to you inside?
Man, I think just to give you insight, the mindset of someone that age when they get pregnant is that I'm going to get in trouble.
You know,
without any real reality of recognizing that it's bigger than just time out or being grounded, that you're bringing a life into the world before you've even discovered what life is about yourself. I felt so much shame. I felt dirty. I felt embarrassed. And, you know, we all go through something. I think it's a little bit more challenging when you are responsible for your own issues. I think that oftentimes people can be victimized and then people can make decisions that end them up in places that they never expected. And for me, I felt like because I had the power to stop this and I didn't, then there must be something wrong with me. And so I spent many, many years thinking less than what God says about me. And I think that that's some of the things that we do when we're experiencing shame is we punish ourselves. And we think if I beat myself up in my head, I used to call myself all the names in the book, you're nobody wants you, just all of these things. And I lived that until it became my reality, and then I hated who I became. And I just had to make a decision that ultimately you can continue to listen to these voices of shame in your head, or you can decide, I'm just going to try and live on faith that I am who God says I am, that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. In spite of what I've gone through, in spite of what my past looks like on paper, I want to believe that I'm better than the mistakes that I've made. And the moment I lived in that consciousness, I started noticing things change for me and began to turn around. And I think what I'm most proud of, though I have, you know, book deals and I've been so blessed to be on these tours, what I'm most proud of is that I look in the mirror and I love the girl I am, the ugly truths and the beautiful things, and I'm no longer ashamed of who I am.
Yes! I love that. I mean, I love that because, and one of the things that kind of blew me away about you, I know that you went into a marriage that was very abusive, that just tore at you further, gave you more negative messages. But when that was finally over, instead of doing what people of my generation tended to do, which was to try and crawl under the carpet and hope nobody noticed us because we'd done the big unforgivable sin, you began to write, you began to blog. And what led you to be so open and transparent in the midst of what was painful?
You know, I'm a church girl. I grew up in church, and I know that it's not often very easy to vocalize why we come to church. A lot of people are faithful, but they don't necessarily explain the journey that led them back to God. And I wanted to save someone from going through what I went through. And I think that our symptoms are all different. You know, mine may have been a teen pregnancy. Mine may have been low self-esteem. But the reality is that we all have something. And I just refused to be handcuffed by my something. And if there was an opportunity to break free from it, that I wouldn't let embarrassment dictate what I told other people anymore. And so I made the very conscious decision to share the incredible, I called them ratchet on the Women of Faith tour. moments of my life mm-hmm. that you would never associate with T.D. Jakes' daughter, but I needed people to know that this happened to me, but it may have happened to someone else, but that doesn't make us less than. And I really wanted to empower that 13-year-old girl who's rubbing her swollen belly or the 27-year-old woman who's wondering if she's ever going to fully embrace who she is as a woman. I wanted to encourage them that you're not alone. Pain isolates us.
Yeah.
And when pain isolates us, it creates infection. And when we have infection, we have these actions that demonstrate that we're hurting on the inside. And I wanted them to know that what you're experiencing is simply a symptom. And if we can get rid of the disease, if we can pull that thing up from the root, that you can have the life that you always dreamed of.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, when I was reading that part of your story in your book, it reminded me of your situation was different. Mine was I ended up in a psych hospital diagnosed with clinical depression, but that doesn't have much curb appeal in the church, you know, to have mental illness. You know, it's got the curb appeal of cabbage, basically. But the thing that I learned during all of that journey was that I'm not the good news. Jesus is.
Oh,
I mean, what a blooming relief that is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because so often I grew up thinking I have to be good enough for God.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's at the worst moments that you find the greatest freedom.
Absolutely. His strength is made perfect in our weakness, but no one one's willing to admit that they're weak. And I think that especially when you find yourself in church and you're serving on the usher board or you're there every week, that we think once we start going to church, we've arrived and we no longer have issues or struggles. And it's going to take leadership and vulnerability to constantly remove the mask that church often makes us place on and say, I'm here because I need a Savior, not because I am one.
That's great. I love that. Yeah. And it makes me wonder, your wonderful husband and you, I mean, your husband is just adorable and
he just adores
you. It's very clear. It's very sweet to watch. But I wonder how your story and your journey has impacted how you pastor.
Oh, goodness. I think that it has made us more effective as pastors. We both have very different stories, very different backgrounds, but we've lived such full lives that when people walk into our congregation at one church in Los Angeles, that we're not expecting them to be the expected end that is promised to us. We recognize that they are a work in progress, and our job as pastors is to inspire them to live up to God's potential for their lives, but to also let them know that it's going to take work and it's going to take sacrifice, but there's nothing that you lose in Christ that He doesn't give back a hundredfold.
Wow. Yeah. I'm thinking of somebody watching right now, and maybe they're in a situation like you were in, and they feel like they'll never be able to live out their destiny. It will always be second best. What would you say to someone like that?
As long as you think you're never going to get out of it, you won't. That God is in the business of transforming our minds. So you have to change the thoughts that you think of yourself. And the message that I share in the collection is called Searching for Gold, and how we often have these times in our lives where we're still searching for gold. And I talk about the California gold rush and how by the time the last people got there, that the gold had been embedded in the rock, so they had to be willing to break the rock to get to the gold. My message is ultimately that life hardens us. It makes us feel like we are worthless sometimes, that we have no purpose, but that God has placed gold inside of us. And as long as we're willing to break away at that rock, then we can discover the many treasures He's placed inside of us.
Wow, this is powerful stuff. Is God the one that chips away, or do we have to be participants in that as well?
We must be participants in that. Faith without works is dead. And I think one of the things that I can say that I struggled with in my relationship with God is vocalizing that pain, is vocalizing those fears. And that's what God wants. He doesn't want this image of perfection that we put on for other people. He wants our brokenness. It's attractive to Him. He loves us in our most vulnerable moments. And there, when He's in that moment, that's where the power of His Spirit can really transform our lives. So, yeah, we've got to open up, we've got to be honest, and we have to be willing to allow His work to really take a hold of our lives.
Could you imagine what the church would be like if we all actually believed that and lived like that? Because sometimes I think church is one of the least honest places. You know, it's where you feel obliged to put on a mask. And honestly, I discovered that, you know, when you're hiding your pain, sometimes we hide behind food or clothes or alcohol or relationships. Yeah. I found the perfect place to hide, which was Christian ministry.
Yeah, oh, wow.
Because, I mean, who's going to say to you, put that Bible down or we're going to have an intervention? You know, it's probably not going to happen. But God is the only one who actually knows whether we're serving out of pain or passion. I think that you are exhibiting a new kind of leadership, Sarah.
I pray so.
You know, a place where people are allowed to tell the truth. I think sometimes people are afraid of that because they think, well, then you're just giving liberty to people just to act anyway at all. Is that your experience?
Not at all. I think that we have to meet people where they are. Time and time again, we see Jesus in the Bible meeting people right where they are. And if we rob people from their ability to be honest and to share that truth, then the power of the word loses its power because we're not able to really be honest with them. You know, whether it was a prostitute in the Bible or a leper, the untouchables, that's who Jesus came for. And so I don't mind touching the untouchables. And, you know, hopefully I can be a bridge until they're strong in Christ and then ready to go out and catch another. But each one must teach one, and that's how we will change the kingdom.
Wow. If you could go back, would you change your story?
I wouldn't.
I love that.
I wouldn't. It taught me so much about myself. And I think that if I went back and changed that story, that I would have a different one that may be just as challenging and may have its own set of obstacles to overcome. But I love my son. He's everything to
me. How old is your son now?
He's 13. He's taller than me. So can you all pray that he stops growing?
I know what that's like. My son just came home from college and
he's like this little boy
and now he's like 6'1".
What happened to
him? I have no idea. I'm almost sure when he was 2, I made him sign something to say this would not happen, but he's clearly gone against the deal.
You should spank him.
I'm wondering how the experience of what happened to you at 13 and then becoming a mom, how is that? Because I know you have a brand new baby girl?
I do.
How old is she?
She's 3 months old. She's the boss of me, too. I'm very tired.
Well, you look great. But I'm wondering how your experience will change how you mother this little girl.
Oh, goodness. It's taught me to be more sensitive. It's taught me not to put my own insecurities on her, because it could be very easy as a teenage mom to build this parenting paradigm around you not being pregnant at the age of 13. But the reality is that that would then desensitize me to the other issues she may face. And so it's really made me accountable to God so that I can really guide and nurture her the way he desires, not the way I'm afraid of.
Wow, yeah. I remember in the Dallas Women of Faith Conference, your mom was there, and it was sisters or aunts.
My sister.
You had,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I remember halfway through your message, looking over at your mom and watching the wonder in her eyes as she saw this strong, beautiful, godly woman on stage. I mean, we all kind of commented to each other, look at Sarah's mom, look at First Lady Jakes. She's clearly been so impacted. And I wonder, did it harm your relationship with your parents when things went so wrong?
Well, I don't think anyone imagines that their daughter will be pregnant at the age of 13 or drop out of college or waitress at a strip club or get married and divorced. Ultimately,
You just kind of threw a lot of that in there, really.
If you just keep talking, people move past it.
But, you know, that's what I love about your story, about your honesty. All of that that's part of your story.
Yeah, that's me. That's
my
journey.
But that's not who you are.
No, it's not.
And that was never who you were.
And I think that that's what my parents knew all along. And so I think if you're a parent out there and you're experiencing some issues with your children, that you have to remember, if you place good seed in them, that regardless of what dirt is thrown on top of it, that seed is still in there, and with the proper amount of watering and nurturing, that everything you placed in them, you're going to see again. I'm literally evidence. If you could have never told my parents I'd be on Life Today, I'm fancy.
You are so fancy.
I'm fancy.
You know, it's interesting. I think there is a correlation between brokenness yielded to Christ, mm-hmm. and powerful anointing.
Absolutely.
Because you can have somebody who's had it all together and honor the Lord, and it's beautiful. But when you have someone who's been to very dark places and found Christ in the midst of that, there's an extra anointing that's on your life that is beautiful to behold.
Thank you.
And, you know, Sarah mentioned that she's part of this series with us, which we are so thrilled about. It's called Living Your Destiny. And maybe even as you're listening to what Sarah shared, you think, I've always thought I've blown it. I'm going to always have to settle for second best. I'll never be what I might have been. Well, I've discovered if you still have a pulse and there's not a white chalk mark around your body, mm-hmm. it's not too late to be the woman that God has called you to
Absolutely.
Be. And we're going to offer this to you. And here's what we'd like to ask you to do. We have this phenomenal opportunity every month. You might not even know about it, but every month we have the opportunity to support getting a film into villages in India, teaching them for the very first time about Jesus Christ. It's amazing. Watch this.
The culture and history of India is filled with numerous false gods and idolatry. Muslim and Hindu traditions are prominent among the 1 billion people in this rapidly developing country. But over the past several decades, the Christian church in India has experienced a miraculous revival. Thousands of people are turning away from false gods and are being transformed by the love of Jesus Christ.
The Lord gave me a vision to take the gospel on the big screen into the villages of India. And most of the people in this village are day laborers. They're very poor, but they are precious in God's sight. And their children and moms and dads and uncles and aunts were here watching this beautiful movie, Dayasagan. And a number of the people in the crowd responded, yes, I want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ.
Film evangelism has proven to be very effective in communicating the gospel to those unable to read. After seeing the sacrifice and love of Jesus for the first time in their lives, hearts and souls are changed forever.
Actually, when they see this film, they can visualize the reality and the saving power of Jesus Christ.
Jesus is no longer a foreign God to them because of this film.
I had to raise my hand when invitation was given. What else I could do when he died in my place?
We today have the opportunity to share the gospel with these who worship idols and see them realize that Jesus, the Son of God, is their Savior, and they will turn their eyes from idols and serve the true and living God. Will you do all that you can right now? There are many thousands of villages waiting for someone to sponsor our teams to enter that village and change their lives forever.
Isn't that amazing? I love what you said. I mean, I had to raise my hand. What else could I do when I heard that God died for me? You see, a billion people who've been told there's all sorts of gods out there who all want you to do something for them. We get the opportunity to bring the truth of the one true God who did everything for us. And the first time that they see this movie, they're so overwhelmed by the beauty of such a sacrifice that literally there's the beginning of a revival happening in India. But I love this team. I've worked with them before. I've known them for years, and we need to get behind them. You know, we do this all the time at Life Today, every month, but we don't always bring you news about it. And that's why this is really special, because while God is moving in India, let's join in. And it's so simple to do. $40 will allow 400 people to see the movie. $40. $120, you will let 1,200 people see this movie. Or perhaps you think, you know, I want to do more. $4,400 sets up a whole team to go into a village to set up. And the amazing thing about the Indian people is they are movie fans. If you tell these people in a remote village, hey, tonight we're showing a movie, they will all come out. But honestly, it's amazing. When they see the story for the first time, when they understand that here is a God who died for them, they are coming to Christ in the droves. And you and I can help. We can do so much. So what I'd like to ask you to do is, would you go to your phone and make a pledge right now? $40, 400 people will see the movie. $80, 800 people. It's amazing. And if you think you could do more, 4,400 will set up a team, and they get there however they can. They crawl over stones, they take their bikes, they do whatever they have to do to let these people see for the first time the true story of a God who loves them. We want to join hands with these people and say, yeah, we want to make sure that this keeps going to all 1 billion people in India have heard the good news of Jesus Christ. What an amazing privilege. So for any gift at all, we will send you Living Your Destiny, this amazing CD teaching series, so you can discover who you are in Christ. And for a gift of $120 or more, we will send you my book, The Longing in Me, How Everything You Crave Leads to the Heart of God, and my dear friend Christine Kane's book, Unashamed. Thank you so much. So please, would you join with us? You know, just go to your phone, dial that number on your screen, give the best gift you possibly can. Or if you like to go online, that's great. Go online, lifetoday.org. If you're sending a check, would you just give us a call and say, hey, this is what I'm doing, so we know and we can get back to our teams in India and say, hey, help is on the way. The good news of Jesus Christ is it's like a fire. It's like catching fire all over India. So let's do something. Let's do something in Jesus' name to let people who think there is no God who sees them know, yes, He doesn't just see you. He died for you.
Go into all the world and preach the gospel. In a nation filled with so much poverty and spiritual darkness, Life Outreach has partnered with John Gilman to present a powerful motion picture on the life of Christ that displays His miracles and demonstrates His love to the people of India. With your support, 2.4 million souls who are looking for our Savior's love will be reached with this unique outreach. While the number is great, the cost to present the gospel message is only 10 cents per person. That means your gift of $40 will share the light of God's love with 400 people. $80 will help share the film with 800 people. $120 will share the film with 1,200 people. And $1,000 will help reach 10,000 people with the life-changing message of the gospel. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you the exclusive audio CD series, Living Your Destiny. Hear 5 outstanding Bible teachers and women of faith share how to live the life God destined for you. With your gift of $120 or more to help reach 1,200 people with the gospel through film evangelism, you may also request 2 outstanding books, The Longing in Me by Sheila Walsh and Unashamed by Christine Kane. This is the last day. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
Dear friends of LOI, James and Betty, I don't know how to say thank you. We've been partners now for years, and your investments in India and our film teams has helped to reach millions of people. And on behalf of the hundreds and hundreds of young men and women that are going out nightly and showing this powerful movie, Daya Saga, thank you. Thank you. God bless you. A great harvest of souls is being won.
Thomas, Bartadal Nambukrai.
We have over 515 teams going out nightly, and I just met 400 or more new recruits who said with passion, we want to go into the villages of India. Thank you for what you have done all these years. It's your investment that's helping to make this possible. Your prayers. Thank you, friends and partners of Life Outreach International.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And I have to say, it's been such a joy to have you. I'm one of your biggest fans. And you can go to, what's your church's website?
OneChurchLA.org. OneChurchLA.org.
Okay. Yeah. And hear Sarah and her husband preach. They are both amazing. When you hear them both preach, you'll understand why they stare at each other lovingly and really love each other. But we thank you so much for being with us. Will you please help me? Thanks. Sarah Jakes Roberts. We'll see you again on Life Today. God bless you.
More than a voice, it's a relationship. He wants to have a relationship with you.
Learning some practical ways for you to hear God's voice.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.